Mike, do you shampoo the tash with anything?
I do, yes.
Do you use hair shampoo or special?
Special homemade shampoo.
Or special tash shampoo.
I will use a standard shampoo, yeah.
Dog shampoo?
Yeah, dog shampoo, whatever's going, really. Whatever hasn't run out, basically.
Okay.
That has a detergent quality in the house.
Fairy liquid in a squeeze?
Yeah, in a pinch, yeah. Whatever, you've got to keep that baby clean. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's busy. It receives food particles, sneezes, flying debris from other people's cars, whatever it might be, a splash of a puddle, you know, guano. You know, it needs washing.
Stardust from a meteorite?
Exactly.
I saw one the other day. I saw a meteor.
Oh, nice.
But not one that's like really high up in the sky.
Right.
One that seemed to be about 100 metres up.
Really?
Does that sound plausible or not?
You nearly got hit.
Yeah, it was really close.
It wasn't just someone hurling a brick at you, was it? Was it quite squared off?
And it was after our Bath Live show, so maybe okay. It was one of the audience.
Yeah, if it's from a passing car, it's not a meteorite. I think that's the rule of thumb.
It wasn't a tortoise as well.
It might have been a tortoise, a flaming tortoise.
Oh,
well, it was on fire, this thing.
Well, it was on fire?
Yeah.
And you didn't go hunting for a bit of meteorite rock?
Oh, I should have done. I could have my own meteorite.
I remember someone at school once had like a little bit of shiny rock that they said was a meteorite. And it did wow us. It wowed us all for a bit.
Did it give him kind of powers?
It gave him social power.
Okay, but not mad, like
he wasn't anti-grav or anything. I'd have told you about that by now. He didn't suddenly have the ability to shit Twixes. That would have been pretty good. It gave him a lot of social power, right? Because oh, this stone's from space, whatever. And then I thought to myself, a bit later on in the afternoon, I thought to myself, yeah, but hang on, I mean, I'm from space. My lunchbox is, everything's from space. My lunchbox is literally from space. Everything's from space. We're all as ancient as the universe.
You are a spaceman.
I am basically a spaceman.
To someone else, you are an alien. Right?
Yeah. I mean, even Nicky Campbell, the Five Live news presenter. He's more than a news presenter.
He's a kind of moral compass for
the
nation.
He's a moral compass for the nation. I mean, he's from space, isn't he? Everything's from space. My headphones are from space. So I just thought, actually, a lot of that social power he developed was actually a little bit false.
But he wasn't suggesting it was a pre-meteorite. He wasn't suggesting that he was going to try and throw it at another planet. You know, just a pebble that he'd found on holiday in Sidmouth or something.
No.
He claimed that this had come from a remote part of the galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
Was he interested in trying to crack it open? I'd have been interested in like taking a chisel to it and see if there's a little sort of alien egg in the middle.
See, you know, you'll see, you're both leaning into his narrative. I'm trying to tell you, it wasn't a remarkable object.
I'm still wowed.
There's
I'm
a
sorry.
Space egg. There's 200 space eggs in your local Tesco's. They're all space eggs. Yeah, and also they come from a beaked mega cockerel beast, a chicken. They're all.
Henry, what's this guy's name? Because I want to go and worship him.
Stop leaning into his bloody narrative. Oh, a furry Grudar beast from beyond. Ah, rah, rah. Yeah, it's a poodle. That's what, if you just call it that from a different perspective, do you know what I mean?
Everything's... Poodles aren't from space. I mean,
yes, they fucking are. Oh, if only there was a hero that could, you know, dress in a little skimpy outfit, covered in oil, and like control a spaceship with lasers in it and destroy the Grudar beast. Yes, that could be Nicky Campbell in theory. If you just look at Nicky Campbell in a certain way. You know, do you know what I mean? Every time he squashes a spider from a different point of view, that he is conquering.
Get him in a microlite, right? Getting some short shorts.
Well, that's the kind of reporting he...
A bit baby oil.
Yeah.
I just don't think that these things are from space, because...
What? You don't believe space exists?
Space is everything that's not within our atmosphere, I would say.
Uh-oh.
So poodles have never existed outside of our atmosphere, have they?
Are we in Venn diagram zone here?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I learned yesterday that all gold in the world...
Yeah.
On Earth, is from space.
Of really? Course it is, you prick. Do you not listen to anything I've just said? Maybe if we all could see things from my point of view, there'd actually be less conflict in the world and everyone would get on a bit better. But what do I know?
they wouldn't get anything done, though, would they?
They wouldn't get a lot done.
If I'm pinning my colours to the mast, person-wise, in terms of someone who could really like smooth out all the world's problems, your mate with a meteorite, might be the one.
He's going to turn heads at the G7, isn't he? Come on.
Yeah.
He's getting a standing O at the UN General Assembly, isn't he, when he comes in with his meteorite? Everyone's going to want to talk to that kid.
It wasn't that big a deal. He was just a little tosser called Mark. Mark Carney, if I remember rightly. He was just, he was just a guff.
One of his many UK sabbaticals.
One of his many. He was just a 25-year-old boy.
Who just happened to come to your primary school on the same day that you were supposed to be doing show and tell.
Can I say, if I did run the world, or, to follow on from last week, if the world was run according to the principles of Pacadonia.
Your new beaker-based religion.
Yeah.
Pacadon!
Hi. Feels strange, doesn't it? Submit to the philosophy of Pacadonia.
Pacadonia! Now, everyone, raise up your beaker. Have you not brought your beaker? You haven't brought a beaker? Well, we've got a spare beaker. Or...
A beaker vending machine.
A beaker. Go to the beaker vending machine. It takes 16 beakers. 16 beakers for a slightly larger beaker. It's the beak economy. No, I think if things were run according to Pacadonia, I think people would get on. There'd be less conflict. I think eventually, rather than conflict, there'd be a sense of malaise that would sort of slowly start to rise of people going, what are we actually doing here?
There'd be an extinction-level ennui.
There'd be extinction-level ennui. And that'll be the moment that my advisors, Mark Carney, Ken Hom,
Rod Stewart.
And Rod Stewart.
It's all lads. People are complaining about that.
It is a bit of a sausage fest. That'll be when they decide to finally strangle me to death.
Etu Ken Hom.
And they'll be like, and Rod Stewart will be like, right, we've killed that prick. No, let's finally get
he's
into
not
that.
Got a, he's not got a Scottish accent.
No. Let's get into that spaceship beaker he's been working on for 10 years and get the fuck off this planet. Thank God we did it. Right, where's the space beaker he's been working on? I assume he's actually managed to... He's not even...
It's still in the doodle phase.
It's still in the doodle phase.
Everything's in the doodle phase.
Oh, no. It's not even a very good doodle of a beaker. That's it. That's what the fuck... All he's done is that. That's not like an upside down hat. It's not even like a beaker. Oh, no.
What power is it? We can't get in that. How's it going to fly?
We've got a big announcement to make.
Oh, yeah.
Crikey, mate.
We do as well. Who's feeling brave enough?
The Beans are going on tour.
Ooh.
Oh, mama.
Buenos Aires, Rio, Santiago.
The International Space Station.
Panama City.
The North Pole.
Copacabana.
Havana, Miami, LA.
Pyongyang.
And Leeds.
So, yeah, no, we're going on tour. It's massive. It's mega. It's happening.
We're hitting Britain.
We're hitting Britain hard.
We're not leaving the island of Britain.
We're not leaving the island of Britain.
We hope to one day, right?
Oh, yeah.
We certainly flirted with the idea of doing a date in Ireland, but it didn't come together.
But, yes, we're launching a tour. Come along in the autumn, no less.
Shall I read out the places that people can find us?
Yeah.
10th of September. London, Queen Elizabeth Hall.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's the big one. That's on London South Bank, isn't it?
It is on London South Bank. Yeah. There's a Oaxaca there, I think.
There's a Oaxaca. Yeah. I think there's still a giraffe, weirdly.
There is a giraffe.
Yeah.
There's a mini foils. There's the BFI if you get fed up and want to watch a movie instead.
Yep. You're a stone's throw from the London Aquarium and the London Eye.
Yeah.
And the London Shrek Experience.
Really?
Yeah, which is in the same building as the London Aquarium now, I think.
That kind of old county hall, whatever it's called.
Old county hall, yeah. It's now the Shrek Experience.
So is that what they you get to experience what it would be like to have trumpet-shaped ears?
Right, which is why I suppose it's directly opposite St Thomas's Hospital, isn't it?
So handy.
Yeah, so London Queen Elizabeth Hall, that's a big one. Then, 2 days later, Friday the 12th of September, it's Bristol.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
At the Bristol Beacon.
Nice.
Too large a venue?
Probably.
We'll see.
We've probably overreached with a few of these, haven't we?
Then we take it down a bit.
Yeah.
We go to, on Saturday the 13th of September, Cardiff's Sherman Theatre.
Nice.
Not the first time I will have treaded those hallowed boards.
Oh, yeah.
Because as a 9-year-old, I did a dance with my classmates to the Jason Donovan version of Any Dream Will Do from Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat as part of a school's dance festival of some sort.
But it's the first time for me and Henry, isn't it?
Well, they say you play the Sherman Theatre twice, don't they, in your career? Once on the way up, once on the way down. So, hello again. Sorry, I'm feeling... We all know that old theatre joke, but some of our listeners
might. It's great fun.
I have actually also played... I've done stand-up there. I was interviewed by Richard Herring there.
Oh. Clang.
Clang. But I love it. Sherman Theatre, great place. Then, the 25th of September... It's the Brighton Theatre Royal.
Very nice.
I've got no experience of this place.
It's where Prince Charles does his one-man...
it's the Regency.
It's where he does his one-man Mamma Mia, isn't it, every Christmas?
Premium Regency experience.
Yeah.
I've only ever been to Brighton once.
What, ever? In your whole
in
life?
In your life?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Really?
And it was when we, us three, were in a sketch group years ago and we were doing previews of our show in Brighton.
Yeah. Is that the only time you've been?
And it was a very sunny day. And we did it just, in my memory, exclusively to some people from Argentina who couldn't speak English.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. It was a tough old gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still don't particularly remember it, I think, as an experience, those guys. Guys and girls who came. I think they still, to this day, it's not something they particularly remember or think about. Yeah. Just had very low impact on them.
It's a coping strategy.
Yeah.
Then, on the 29th of September, it's Leeds City Varieties.
Lovely stuff. Absolutely beautiful gaff.
Nice. Might do a little bit of shopping. Lovely Leeds town centre is a lovely place for a bit of shopping. Lovely pedestrianised shopping area. Lots of very nice arcades.
It's got a good old market.
Nice old market.
Yeah.
Where M&S started. That's my favourite.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Then, 2nd of October, it's Manchester Factory International.
Nice.
Is that to do with Factory Records?
I've got no idea, actually.
Probably isn't, is it?
Oh, I'm looking it up. I think it's new.
Is it?
It's fancy looking.
Oh, okay.
It looks quite space age.
Okay, well, let's. I mean, anyone who comes to that, then let's all agree to just use a coaster or something. I mean, don't put a mug down directly on any surfaces.
Yeah, try and keep it nice.
Yeah.
Then the 5th of October, Newcastle.
Lovely stuff. Why the hell I'm on?
I feel like we might have to put some rules down for Henry. Newcastle.
So there's going to be a special locker, isn't it, for all anyone, if you've brought contraband fish that you want to sell, you're not allowed to sell it at the venue, but you can put it in special freezers, isn't it? We've got, the cloakroom's been adapted to have some freezers.
And obviously during the day, Henry will be walking among you.
That's right.
You'll never know.
You'll never know. I'll be dressed from head to toe, a sting. By the way, special deal for that Newcastle one, sting comes free. So if you are Sting,
yeah, that's true.
We can offer you a Sting comes free.
But you will have to pay for any sort of plus ones.
You have to pay for any plus ones. Yeah, it doesn't count if you're in the Police. It's not good enough. No. If you're the drummer for the Police, don't care. Bassist for the Police, don't care unless that was Sting.
Sting is the bassist in the Police.
Okay, so in that case, there's a special exemption. So Sting comes free. Bassist is not allowed unless you've got the You Are Sting exemption, which Sting should have.
Yeah, but it is a 2-drink minimum.
It's a 2-drink minimum, and you have to drink both of those yourself, Sting. You can't give one to a friend. We will be watching you. Yeah? And just try and keep a low profile. Don't make it all about you. Okay? In fact, if you could dress as not you, that'd be ideal. I'll be dressed
but
as you.
But you will have to prove that you are you when you come in, but not dressed as you.
But not with reference to yourself. So you're going to have to...
Might have to do that digitally.
You might. That's your problem to solve. We're offering you the free ticket. So, the least you can do is...
We're busy. We're putting a show on. Come on, mate.
Exactly. Okay, cool.
Then, the 9th of October, it's Birmingham Town Hall.
Very good.
Oh. A special rule for that night, we can offer a Craig Charles has normal ticket price.
He's not from Birmingham.
Isn't he?
No, he's a Scouser. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why he's got normal ticket price.
Yeah, yeah.
There's absolutely no reason for him to be treated specially for that gig.
Yeah, and so obviously for sort of most events in the UK that is mentioned, but normally just that's in the small.
It's in the small print. The bottom of the post.
You don't normally hear that.
Because this is an audio medium, we're having to do some of the small print audio. Yeah.
And any members of UB40 Yeah. It's double ticket price.
It's double ticket, I'm afraid. Yeah. We don't think you've done the city any favours, frankly. Although we do love rat in the kitchen. Don't we? There's a rat in the kitchen.
Oh, he doesn't, come on.
Yeah.
It's one of the few songs, really, that deals with the issue of what happens if there's a rat in your kitchen.
Yeah, and you don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it asks the question, what am I going to do? But without answering it, which I think is why.
But that's art, isn't it?
That's art. It doesn't come up with simple answers. I mean, in the hands of a less talented band, it would be, there's a rat in my kitchen, I'm going to put down some poison.
But now I'm worried about my cat.
I'm going to put my cat in a papoose.
Oh no, I've put the rat in the papoose. It sounded like quite a good song, actually.
All right, come on.
And then, so there's a big jump then from Thursday the 9th of October. Yeah. You've then got 2 months off.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody
hell.
That's
the way we do things.
That's the way. It will take a lot out of us.
And that travel from Birmingham back to London will take...
It's devastating. I mean, obviously, if HS2 was working, we'd be fine.
Well, we're trying to hit Scotland, aren't we? We're trying to... Which yes, we will do. We will succeed in getting a Scottish date.
Scottish date to be announced, isn't it?
Yeah. We've had some... not trouble.
We're trying to getting a venue to work on the right dates and stuff. We're just still working that out, aren't we?
Yes. So, but we're definitely trying... Probably Glasgow is the idea.
Yes.
TBC.
Yeah.
Yes. And then on the 6th of December...
Too soon?
We're at King's Place. And that one, whilst in London, is also going to be our streaming one.
Yes.
We're streaming that one, so that's the one you can come to if you live in Timbuktu or whatever.
Live and non-live.
Yes, that's true.
Both. You can watch it live or you can watch it later.
Yeah. So there we are.
Yeah.
So it's almost every corner of this fine isle. As we say, we've got Scotland to come.
And the island of Ireland is something that we've yet to... That's on our list to do in future, isn't it?
As is Jersey.
The Isle of Man. The Isle of Wight.
British Virgin Islands.
Falklands.
Inaccessible Island.
Anguilla.
Gibraltar.
Moscow.
And the diplomatic free zone, which is also known as Claire Balding's Kitchen.
Very good. Yes, do come.
Tickets will go on sale on general release on Friday, which is the...
It can't be done.
Maybe. Friday the 4th of April.
Yeah, so general sale, 10 a.m, Friday the 4th of April. However, if you are a Patreon member on the 3rd, which is on Thursday, they go on sale for Patreon people at 10 a.m. So they get a day's first bite of the cherry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to speak.
And at some point it'll all be up on the... We're doing it with Little Wonder, who are the guys that run McCunslith Comedy Festival, and they're wonderful. And it'll be on their site at some point as well.
Yeah, there'll hopefully be a link in the show notes for this. So, general sale Friday the 4th at 10 a.m, Patreon pre-sale Thursday the 3rd at 10 a.m. And we'd love to see you there.
Yes, please.
It's going to be huge. We've done a few previews, haven't we? And put it this way. We fulfilled our obligation on the night, didn't we?
Certainly time-wise.
Time-wise.
Let's turn on the beam machine.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
This week's topic, as sent in by Heather from Bristol.
Thank you, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Is festivals.
I've performed at Glastonbury. I went to a weird school where there was a travelling mime group in my school. I was a member of it. It was called Mime Machine. And we performed at the Pompidou Centre. We performed in New Orleans on Bourbon Street. We performed at Glastonbury. We performed in Ireland.
Potentially Cork, but maybe not.
Potentially Cork.
We just...
It was near Dingle, because I remember the Tales of the Dingle Dolphin.
Who was the Dingle Dolphin?
So the Dingle Dolphin was a dolphin that was based in Dingle.
Right, did you render the Dingle Dolphin in mime?
You know what? It's incredibly hard to mime a dolphin. All right, challenge accepted. Actually, not that hard.
Isn't the point of mime you don't make any noise, though?
I wasn't.
Oh, my God.
And that's the point of mime.
I've just looked up the Dingle Dolphin. His name's Fungi.
That's right, Fungi.
Or he was. He's now dead.
There was a statue of him, though. He was a legendary dolphin that just hung around in the bay in Dingle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we performed mime at Glastonbury. Now, I could work out what year... we could actually work out. I don't know if we could find out the lineup. I think David Bowie was playing.
No. Okay.
Although I don't know which of his iterations.
And you wouldn't have appreciated it enough at that age, would you?
No. Surely? I think I did a bit. But I think it was Bowie. It wasn't as far back as the Bowie era that was, the little toy soldier was playing a mandolin. The little toy soldier ran up the chimney. La, 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 la. Do you know that? Do you know that era of Bowie?
Henry, I literally just Googled Mime Machine Glastonbury.
Oh, no. Is it coming out?
Yes. There's a website called Glastopedia, which has got all of the performances ever, right?
Okay.
Mime Machine performed at the acoustic stage.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
At 11 a.m.
Oh,
it's a plum spot.
That's the Mariah Carey spot, basically, now, isn't it?
Saturday, the 21st of June, 1986.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. So acoustic stage, 86, Mime Machine, 11 a.m. I tell you what, if you can remember Mime Machine, 11 a.m. acoustic stage, you probably won't.
Yeah, who else was about? I want to know who else was on the... Who was Henry hanging out with in the green room?
Yeah,
I think Bowie was there.
Okay, so the headliner on the pyramid stage. Oh, no, acoustic stage. Here we go.
Yeah.
1986.
Acoustic.
Six.
That'll be someone we haven't heard of. I think acoustic stage probably isn't one of the big ones, is it? I've not even heard of it.
And you've been there.
Of course, we had to do our entire act unplugged as well, which was made particularly intimate, actually, and quite powerful. It was completely unplugged mime.
It's not easy.
Or can you find out who was just on at Glastonbury that year?
I can. So the headliner on the Saturday was The Cure.
Oh, ooh. My God. That would have been brilliant. I just didn't know who The Cure were at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's such a waste. Oh, The Cure in 86. If you could put me a time machine now superb. To go back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch it because I'd be concentrating on my mime. This is our one chance, boys.
So 36,000 people were there. Not at Mime Machine.
It's much bigger now, isn't it, these days?
Yeah, so Henry was one of 71 performers only.
Blimey. Bloody hell.
The price was £17.
For Glastonbury?
Yeah.
Blimey.
So also playing that weekend
were
Billy Bragg.
Oh God, I don't like the government. I don't like the policy of the government. I don't like the government.
No, look, I'm not having a go at Billy Bragg.
Sounds like you are.
No. My only problem with Billy Bragg is I've got no problem with him, except his lyrics are quite on the nose. I think we should change the policy relating to unemployment policy. I don't like the policy. We should probably change the percentage that goes back from tax revenue. You know what I mean? It's like, try and make it more metaphorical. It's a bit more fun.
Okay, I've found the lineup for the acoustic stage on that day.
No way.
So it opens at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So we open.
Well, that's a big...
Does my machine open?
You actually played twice.
I don't remember the second. Maybe I wasn't invited back.
You opened the acoustic stage at 11 a.m. on the Saturday. Okay. You also opened the acoustic stage on the Sunday at midday. Now, you've got to bear in mind that you were up against... So on Sunday, people could choose between Mime Machine or the House Martins on another stage.
Dude. And let it again. Don't believe it. Is that them?
Yeah.
Happier again. Don't believe him. Or a 12-year-old pretending to eat an apple. Oh my God, the House Martins. Is that a band where like one of them's now is like Keir Starmer or something? Did one of them go on to do something
else?
One of
them's Fatboy Slim.
Oh, one of them's Fatboy Slim. That's
and
it.
I think one of
them's
them
Beautiful
is
South.
The Beautiful South, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But none of them are Professor Brian Cox.
No.
Just
on the Saturday, you opened the stage. Then it was Ragtag.
Oh,
lovely. Don't know who they are. Johnny Coppin and Phil Beer.
Okay.
They don't sound great, do they?
They don't sound like they're still alive.
Then, well, one of them was always copping off and the other one was always on the beer. They're a couple of right lads. I'm glad there was something in between them and my machine. I wouldn't want to be exposed to them.
Then Carrig. Mm-hmm. Sounds Carrig. Like a folky kind of band to me.
That okay, sounds yeah. super folky, doesn't it? Yeah.
Then the Survival String Band.
Okay.
Then Rumiliata.
It all sounds a bit like Enya-adjacent Celtic kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think that's the vibe on this stage, definitely.
Yeah.
Then there's a bit of a left turn from that vibe, which is a band called Lovely Money.
Okay.
It's quite 80s.
That's sort of. So 80s.
Yeah.
Lovely Money.
Then at 9 p.m, Billy Bragg, your mate.
Change health policy. Reinvest money from different things in the health policy, education policy. Is that offensive, by the way, that Billy Bragg impression?
Only to Billy Bragg, who could take it.
Yeah, he might not like it, but...
And then the headliner on that stage was Loudon Wainwright III.
Wow.
He's good, right?
He's big. He's the father of the other Wainwright, of Bruce...
Of Rufus.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Of Rufus Wainwright. Loudon Wainwright. He's a proper big cheese,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
To think that I trod the same boards as him.
Maybe you might have played with Rufus backstage.
Can I just say I played with Rufus? Oh, yeah. Played with Rufus. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, backstage.
Yeah, Rufus was probably knocking about, a little sort of stage kid. So my machine essentially was, so my school, every year, there was my machine. It was an all-boys school, but so it was 12 boys in black leotards doing mime. And every year, it was like K-pop, in the sense that every year there was a mime machine, but every year only 12 boys were in it, if you know what I mean.
It was bigger than any individual man or boy. It was, yeah.
Exactly. The concept of mime machine was bigger than all of
us. It
was
an institution.
So we were merely passengers
within
an invisible bus.
At what age do you age out of mime machine?
You know what, Ben? That's a great question. I'm going to say, one is, well, I've got two answers to that. One is, do we ever really age out of mime machine?
Okay.
And two is, 13. because then you leave the school and you can't still be in my machine, essentially. It was a top year, top boys. So yeah, so every year there was a my machine, and it was like you were the hallowed ones. It was a big deal to be in my machine and to not be in my machine.
Yeah.
And at the time it felt like, you know, it was in a way it was a bit bad, because if you weren't in my machine you felt really left out. I think there was basically a mental health toll to not being in my machine. At the time, although I think looking back, I think there was heavier mental health toll than being in mime machine. There was a toll either way you sliced it.
Careful what you wish for when it comes to mime.
When it comes to mime, exactly. Because you may find yourself trapped in a very real transparent box of your own creation. Anyway.
That you guys used to practice in. Yeah.
You practice in a real transparent box, Mike, again and again and again and again and again and again until, hang on, he's taken away the transparent box. Yes, you've been doing it without the transparent box for half an hour. Thanks, I can fly. Oh, no, we've lost another one. You can't just mean you can fly. Oh, no. We've got to stop doing these training camps next to the cliffs of Dover. Anyway, so the way my machine worked was leotards, 12-year-old boys. You put one inside the other.
Oh, God.
So we did these things called machines. So the one I always remember was called the breakfast machine. And
a toaster.
But that was one of them, yeah.
Right.
Well, there was toast and there was toast. In fact, I hadn't thought of that for years until that just brought it back to me. So two of us were toast. A boy, I remember who it was. I'll call him Kodrak. Kodrak.
The third.
Kodrak the third. I can picture him.
Marquess of Patagonia.
Yeah. There was a lot of South American aristocracy at my school. Kodrak the third. So I remember him. He would wake up. He would do a piss, a mime piss.
Yeah.
Well, a mime piss by the time we were doing it on stage. Obviously, practice with real piss. Until Kodrak... You haven't been actually pissing for half an hour. Oh, my God!
It's not even your real dick. God. We removed that half an hour ago as well.
That's right, Kodrak. And we're not on the third floor of a provincial hotel. That entire provincial hotel is mimed as well.
But that is Billy Bragg.
That is Billy Bragg. Anyway,
Point being,
yeah,
we do these machines. So contract, he'd get up, he'd do a wee. There was a kid playing the toilet. He'd lift up the lid.
Okay.
And then there was a kid playing the radio. He'd hit something. And that's it, the radio would wake him up. So a kid was playing the radio. Then he'd walk in to the kitchen, two kids with a toast. There was a kid with a toast. He'd lower the toast. That's it. They were bread. I think they started off. So you'd always announce what you were. So they'd go, bread. And then he'd lower it. And then he'd pop up and go, toast. So these things would happen one after us. No?
Christ.
All these people that are also have just woken up after a night watching The Waterboys, The Pogues, Ruby Turner and The Psychedelic Furs.
They are a heavy, heavy, heavy come down as it is. Yeah.
Also, there isn't
even churros to come. Churros isn't going to appear for like 30 years.
We're 30 years away from churros. There isn't even decent coffee. There's Nescafe or tea, I think.
Yeah.
Has ibuprofen been invented yet?
No, you've got to wait for 7 hours until there's a battered sausage available. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's tough times. And then, there was bacon. There were two guys going, come and go, bacon. They lay down, they start frying. Hissing as they were frying. Which actually be particularly annoying when it's breakfast time, when it's 11 a.m. You actually want a fry up.
Yeah.
And you're having to watch a mime one. That'll explain a lot of the tooth marks that I found in my legs. Subsequent days. Anyway, and my one was someone who was doing muesli, and I'd come on and go like this. A nut. That was my part. I did that three times. I'd go off and come back on everything. We did it three times and I'd come back on. What a longer. A nut. And it was because it only had two words. I had to really hit it. I was like, got to really hit a nut, Henry. Really make him believe it this time. How would a nut say a nut? Would it say a nut? Probably wouldn't actually. You're getting trapped in your own head, Henry. You're getting trapped in your own head. I've got the mime twisties. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it.
How often do you enter a room and say, oh, man?
People just don't do it. We're losing you, Henry. Cyril, give him a mime. Give him a mime slap, but on his real face. The whole thing was controlled by my headmaster, who would be sat using a bongo, which he would hit with a stick. So you go, bam, he'd hit the bongo with a stick, and you'd come on, do your bit. He'd hit it with a stick again, you'd do the next bit. So then, when Kodrak III had worked his way through the whole thing, they all paused, and then the headmaster hit his bongo with a stick again, and then the whole thing happened at the same time, so it was a cacophony. Yeah, there we go, toast, bacon, a nut, poor token, bacon, or sausage, a nut, bread, toast, a nut, like a cacophony. And that was the machine, you see, the mime machine was happening. This kind of like,
yeah,
pretty heady stuff. And they need to whack it with the bongo again.
God, that's exhausting, isn't it?
We move on to the next one.
Just even hearing about it.
Sounds rubbish.
Yeah. Well, some stuff was too new. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's necessarily better than The Cure. I might not know why I don't like Mondays. And that's not The Cure, is it?
Fried I'm in Love is what you're thinking of.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You went Geldof. You steered hard into Geldof.
Can you just say that the Geldof band was there, Ben?
Hang on. Let me just look. Also playing were...
The Geldof band.
Bob's Geldof band, which were called...
Oh.
Boomtown Rats?
Boomtown Rats. There we go.
Well, I tell you what. I don't know for sure why I don't like Mondays, but I know why I don't like Saturday mornings around 11 a.m. at the acoustic stage. Because it's an absolute dog shit show on.
Sunday's quite good. I mean, Simply Red.
Wow.
Quite gross.
Yeah.
Madness, great.
Yeah. Nice. Madness, one of these bands, they've just carried on going. They do a festival, don't they? Madstock.
Yeah.
Do they do that every year?
I don't know, but I love Madness.
Well, all I remember about my experience, I don't think we saw... So was Bowie not on? Have I made that up?
No Bowie. Definitely no Bowie.
I don't know why. That's a completely false... That's false memory syndrome, isn't it?
You're getting mixed up between Bowie and... who's the guy from Simply Red?
Mick Hucknall. That's right. There was a... I remember a man with a shimmering sense of charisma that was just... that took all of our breaths away. A man that could reinvent himself ceaselessly.
Yeah.
Small, pudgy ginger man. Small, slightly more pudgy ginger man.
With dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks.
Would you like some spectacular news?
Yes, please.
Oh, yes, please.
We paused a second ago, and I had a knock at the door, at the back.
Your back door?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I think I know what this might be.
No.
Because it's very easy for my neighbours, and who are good friends, for us to go into each other's gardens. There's a sort of shared bin alley area and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, God.
And I was a very excited. Please. I think you renamed him Bob.
Oh, Bob and Ruth from next door.
Who had been doing a bit of gardening, and yes. Who should he have found?
No.
Alive and well. Egg himself.
Yes!
Alive and well.
Egg's back!
He was under our noses the whole time. He was on one of the nearest, like the very nearest flower bed to their kitchen, basically. We thought Egg had died. We had got to the point, because we're now, it's late March, we'd had a good spell of sunny weather. Egg's friend and contemporary, T, had emerged a few weeks ago.
Who's T?
T is a slightly further away tortoise who had gone to hibernate at a similar time. They might even be brothers. But T's owners had reported that T had emerged from hibernation.
Uh-huh.
But still no egg. And also, before the good weather, we'd had very, very, very frosty weather. And there's a neighbour down the road who's had many tortoises in his time, and he had said just the other day to Bob and Ruth, listen, you need to let go of Egg.
No!
God. Egg is dead. I've seen this before, countless times.
Oh, my God.
Egg is dead. Move on.
Don't wish your life away waiting for a tortoise that ain't never going to come back. Because I made the same mistake
Bob
with my
Ruth,
ex-wife.
Live, please!
Your egg's cooked.
Yeah, I made the same mistake with my ex-wife. People say I shouldn't have married a tortoise. And I said, yeah, it was just a metaphorical tortoise that happened to actually also be a tortoise, though. Oh, my God.
I've just laid eyes on him, yeah.
Did it emerge itself, or did they have to garden it out?
Yeah,
of the
I think Bob was working on this flower bed, so I don't know if that lot gave him the final prod to wake up. A bit of disturbed earth nearby. And Bob turned back to cover it with a bit of this and that and noticed someone's coming up. And who should it be? Thank God it was Egg. It wasn't, you know,
what?
Gary Lineker, for example, or anyone else. It was Egg.
Yeah. Imagine if you unearthed and it was just Titch March's face.
Yeah.
Alive.
Yeah.
Looking at you.
Face up.
Face up.
Eyes up. He doesn't even blink.
Doesn't even blink.
Doesn't bother him.
You know what I would do? I'd carefully place, reform the soil back over his head,
yeah.
Pat it down,
yeah.
And never speak of the incident again.
Pave over it.
Pave over it as soon as possible. Call one of those emergency paving companies that mainly cater to serial killers, to be fair.
We can pave quick. We can pave fast. We can pave no questions asked. That's right. It's anonymouspaves.com.
That's terrific news. Are they giving him a big feed now?
I would have thought so. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Bob knew we were recording, so I've just popped out and popped back in again. I assume, yeah, he's got to be ready to go.
Well,
right?
You'd bring out the special lettuce, wouldn't you, on an occasion like this?
I reckon, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe some rocket?
Cannabis.
Yeah, there's a special,
powerfully genetically lettuce, yeah. Engineered super skunk.
Well,
see you in the autumn, Egg.
Egg, it's time for you to go on the ride of your life. And that's a ride into your own mind.
Your own cashew-sized mind.
What? Your own cashew-sized and shaped mind. What demons will you find therein?
Basically none, because basically you just live on instinct entirely and you don't really think.
Yeah. At the most, you'll sort of hallucinate lettuce where there isn't any lettuce.
Yeah, most of that is cashew is needed for sort of basic functions, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you see Egg? Did he bring
I did see Egg.
Oh, how's he looking?
Hale and hearty, yeah. You know, a little bit soil covered. But he's basically just doing his spring stretches, really. Mm.
They often look tired, don't they? Yeah. Tortoises. It's just that's why it's not really in tortoise society. You don't say you look well, or you don't. You know, there isn't really a thing of that because they all look pretty fucked, don't they? A lot of the time. They're just the way they're built. Well, I'm so glad that there's a happy ending to that tortoise and to that tortoise story, to that egg story.
Thank goodness.
And the fact that it happened live during a pod is pretty magical.
It's lovely.
What I'm amazed by is that Egg was able to bury himself in such a way that it wasn't obvious where he was. That's really good work, isn't it?
He's incredibly hard to spot anyway. Mm. Even when I went round just now, and it's quite a small flower bed, and it was pointed out to me, it took me a minute to like pinpoint
where
like he's extraordinary in terms of his ability to camouflage.
Because tortoises are so good at burying themselves, they're also very good at faking their own murders.
That's right.
And it's something you need to watch out for.
Insurance scam.
It's a big, big tortoise insurance scam.
That's how most of them make a living.
Now, if you think you're being scammed by a tortoise,
do ring the action line.
Ask yourself some basic questions. Did the tortoise say it was going kayaking, for example?
Yeah, because that's one of the tells.
Yeah.
Was it off its lettuce? That's because that's not possible. If it was off its lettuce, it was pretending to be off its lettuce. Something to look out for.
And do check its socials.
Yeah.
Do check its socials.
Because it might just be that you get a couple of pics of the tortoise in Lanzarote on Instagram.
Yeah. Or the Galapagos.
Or the
famously.
Galapagos. Yeah. Surrounded by massive sexy tortoises.
So it sounds like there's loads of tortoises in your area, Mike.
Well, I know of two. I assume there are more.
Well, there's two. Then there's a bloke who married a tortoise.
There's a bloke. They're in their post-tortoise phase of life now.
Okay.
They've been burnt too many times.
Because, like, sorry to bring this up, Mike, if you bought a tortoise now for your family, which I think you should do, it would outlive you.
That would be the expectation, yes.
So does that mean you have to put in kind of, like, planning for... So who looks up? Like, do you have to set up a whole sort of...
Trust, yeah.
A trust.
With a board. Power of attorney. Yeah.
Various signatures are needed, aren't they, to make decisions on behalf of the tortoise?
Yeah, they'll need a butler, maids, amanuensis, paralegals, the works.
Can you purchase future lettuce? Is that allowed? Because obviously you don't know what the lettuce market's going to do. So is there a kind of...
Well, that's why it's so high risk. That's presumably why the gains are potentially massive. From trading in lettuce.
Because you're a lettuce, you're actually a lettuce billionaire, aren't you?
Well, but it's all tied up in lettuce.
Theoretical lettuce. So. Yeah.
But that is what my financial advisor tells me, yes.
Yeah. But you can never see the lettuce, can you, Mike?
I can't see the lettuce. He says that might damage the lettuce.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know, the fact that your financial advisor looks almost exactly like a tortoise. that's just a genetic condition, isn't it? You're pretty sure.
I remember you told me, Mike, you strode down to your financial advisors, didn't you? Because you started to think something was up. And you said, look, at least show me some of this lettuce just to prove there's some.
Mm.
And he got a little bit out, didn't he? And he said, look at this. It's just the tip of the iceberg. All right.
Yeah.
Come on. Up yours.
I went away feeling really reassured.
Up yours, Britain. We're here to stay.
It was very unclear who he was swearing at.
We don't want to change. We're not going to change.
I'm saying that to everyone who voted Romain.
Come on!
Another little gem.
Bang! Oh, my God. He's speaking in lettuce tongues.
Someone's already stuck a rocket at my ass.
Oh, my God. I literally can't think of a single one.
He's done them all.
All I can think of is there's no dust on that potato, which isn't even a phrase.
And that's why Henry Packer's financial services are not doing as well.
They're not doing as well.
As Vonjamin's pun-based financial system.
The fact that your financial advisor has upgraded to a bigger shoebox with even more air holes in it doesn't... That doesn't worry you, does it?
Changing his hay twice a year these days.
You know what? I'm so glad that Egg's been found alive. And it means I won't ever get to read out the eulogy I wrote for him.
Yeah.
Because I had prepared for this.
Mm.
But I mean, I could let you hear it now if you want.
Sure. Yeah.
We're gathered here today.
In St. Paul's Cathedral.
I look around the world, I see heads of state.
Heads of lettuce.
And presumably you're also going to be doing this in French, German, Portuguese, Swahili, right? You're going to... Yeah.
Well, there's a bank. The first two rows of pews is all simultaneous translators.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like to thank Bob Geldof for coming here today. I would like to thank Mick Cucknell, Billy Bragg, everyone who was there.
The stuffed corpse of Neil Armstrong.
I'd like to thank Timothy Berners-Lee for being here. I'd also like to thank Bernard Matthews for being here.
Berners-Timothy Lee.
Bernard
Timothy Berners.
Matthew Bernard. That was
Bernard.
That was an accident. That was a mistake. It was a clerical error, but thank you for coming anyway.
And Bernard Hugh Mapethuth. Now, egg. If you look at this, this is just library footage of a hedgehog, actually. I don't know why have we got...
What? It's a shame because you were hoping to book the big inflatable tortoise head that comes out the front door of St Paul's Cathedral, so the dome looks like it's a shell.
That's the one we were hoping. Yeah, unfortunately,
clicked on the wrong button, and you got the library footage of a hedgehog from 1987.
Actually, you know what? What's that, Bob Geldof? Yes. Why don't you play an a cappella version of one of your songs from you could play an a cappella version of one of your songs from the Boomtown Rats.
Yeah, or even better, someone else's song.
Yeah. But you play someone else's song. Because the only one we've ever heard of is Don't Like Mondays, and actually, I don't like that song very much.
Second tie of it.
Second tie of it. No, but what I would say is...
He did one other good song called Rat Trap.
Did he?
Just putting that there. Okay, yeah. Go on. It's good.
Egg was a... male or female tortoise plucked from this earth in the inevitable way that happens to all of us and to tortoises.
What, lifted away by an eagle?
Dashed on some rocks.
Yeah. Or the head of a Greek dramatist.
It's the moment that awaits all of us, isn't it? Plucked from the earth.
Before you know it, whoop, up you go.
Up you go. Way, whoa. Slightly before my time, but fine, go for it. Yep, no, yep, we knew it was coming.
Okay, time to read some emails.
Yes, please.
And mm-hmm. Patrick from Washington, D.C. has sent in a version of the email jingle.
Oh, wow, brilliant.
Please find attached a version of your email jingle done in the style of gravel-voiced alt-music icon Tom Waits.
Oh, nice.
It was inspired by your discussion of the most sonically unpleasant sounds. I love Tom Waits, but generally can't listen to more than a few songs at any one go, as his voice is, well, Tom Waits. Love the show, Patrick. Well, nice. I see.
Thanks, Patrick.
Must give thanks to the postmasters who came before. Hey, Mr. Postman, anything for me? Just some old shit. When you send an email, this represents progress. Like a robot chewing a horse. My beautiful horse.
That's outstanding.
Top marks.
Now, Patrick, I thought you said you'd pretended to be... That was Tom Waits, wasn't it?
It must have been.
Yeah,
that must have been. Otherwise, Patrick's done some pretty serious damage to himself.
Yeah, that's Tom Waits is pretending to be Patrick for reasons that aren't clear.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you, Tom/Patrick.
Thank you, Tom/Patrick.
Brilliant.
Tell you what, we've not had for a while. A bollocking.
Ooh. That's true.
Okay,
it's time for listener bollocking of the week.
Great.
Yeah.
Accessing listener bollocking. Bollocking loading. Bollocking loaded.
This is bollocking that he's addressing to all of us, but I think it was my fault, so I will take the brunt of this bollocking.
Okay.
I think I was saying that a caiman was a kind of puny, small reptile that you'd have no problem kicking in the head, which is not very pleasant, but I felt I could deal with one.
Yeah.
And we suggested they could be used as a sort of live wallet/handbag, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did, yeah. Anyway, Dan from Somerset writes, "Hi, Beans. The black caiman can exceed 5 metres in length."
What?
That's a hell of a wallet.
They will fuck you up. Cheers, Dan.
Okay.
Wow.
Crumbs.
That's big. That's half of a 10-meter wide swimming pool.
But in length.
But in length.
We assume.
Yeah, we assume. So that's pretty... Whew, that's ahead of a digestive tract, isn't it?
Mm.
You'll be a long time in that, won't you, if you get swallowed whole. Imagine being swallowed whole. Those poor animals you see, when they've been swallowed, you can still see their silhouette. Bloody hell.
Do you want another bollocking?
Sure, let's keep them coming.
This is from Sean. Hi, Beans.
Hi, Sean.
I'd like to add my voice to what I can only imagine is a deafening chorus of bollockers giving Mike and Ben a hard time.
Uh-oh.
For saying that Harold Hardrada was king of England.
Oh, God.
Harold Godwinson was king, following Edward the Confessor, and defeated Harold Hardrada at the Battle of Stamford Bridge in 1066. Done over by William the Conqueror, later the Conqueror, that same year.
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
So is that not the Harold who got... is that the one who got the arrow in the eye? Because I remember from doing 1066 at school that everyone... And it was taught in quite a sort of jingoistic way of like... Yeah. And it was like one of those... You know one of those films where you know the end?
Yeah.
You know it's bad, but you still, every time you watch it, you still sort of hope... For a good outcome.
Marley and me.
Yeah. You still hope that Marley will die, but his owner will befriend a scientist that brings Marley back to a kind of mechanoid semi-life. Isn't it? You still hope that's going to happen. All it can do is defecate and shriek. So I remember when we studied it, I was like, oh, please, please, come on, guys. We can beat the Normans because we've never been invaded before and we've never been invaded since, which I've learnt last week was a complete lie. All we've ever been is invaded in Britain. Yeah. It's just been constant wave after wave after wave of invasion. But I remember that what happened was Harold went north. There was a sort of twin attack was happening. I think it's because everyone in the world just knew, if you want to invade somewhere, just go to Britain. It's an absolute fucking cakewalk.
It's a cakewalk, yeah.
Although, ironically, their cakes aren't very nice. So it's a sort of like sort of mouldy old muffin with some raisins stuck in walk. Anyway, they went north, they fought and won the first battle. And also, I very much pictured it in my mind as you'd sort of take an army north, and then people would come out of their huts and come out of wheelbarrows and stuff and come out of barrels. And just like join and grab like a hoe or a rake or something, just join you.
Just see what's going on.
Yeah.
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 Get involved.
Exactly. Like nothing's happened in this village since that time when someone lost an onion.
And we blamed it on that witch.
Harold and his army beat away this.
Yeah, so I think that's the Battle of Stamford Bridge.
Yes, the other Harold.
So that was up north somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so was that Vikings that was being fought?
That was Harold Godwinson, aka Harold II, versus Harold Hardrada in Yorkshire, basically.
Then they came south.
Then they had to
fight the Normans.
The Normans, yeah.
And I think there was sort of the way it was taught to us was like, we shouldn't have lost. You know, it was we and kind of that kind of vibe. It was like, we shouldn't have lost the Battle of Hastings. Harold made a few key mistakes, bullet points, 1, 2, 3, should have done this. Very much a sense of like, this is an aberration. We should have won the Battle of Hastings. It was really frustrating. And I think he went too quick. He should have like spent more time just like gathering the army and sort of resting in between these two battles, but he tried to do it in sort of too quickly. Mm. And then the other thing, which I remember discussing a lot at school around Battle of Hastings, was if you could get in a time machine, go back in time, and it was just you and a mini, like a car, a mini, and like a chainsaw, could you change the outcome?
Win the Battle of Hastings? Alone?
So there was a lot of talk about what would be enough to change it.
You'd have got absolutely killed in seconds with your mini.
I don't even want to think about you operating a chainsaw. What you do to yourself. It would be a terrifying sight for the Normans to see a man chop himself asunder, mince himself.
The man in the wheeled metal horse has cut off his own head. Right, on with the battle. Ignore that. Just a bit weird.
It's an omen of some sort. Not sure what it means.
Don't ruin the tapestry by putting that on it.
Don't put it on the tapestry.
It'll be completely impenetrable. No one will know what it means.
But you could put it on as a hanky, which could be like a sort of a subscriber extra. People are subscribing to the tapestry. They could get like a hanky with that on it, maybe. They could blow their nose on it. Yeah.
Well, I'm accepting. Sorry, so that's bollocking accepted from me.
Absolutely, likewise. Yeah, yeah.
Bollocking accepted.
And for the previous one, which I accept them both.
Thanks for that, Ben. Heroic. You took a bollock for us.
Much like Harold taking the arrow in the eye.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who signed up on our Patreon.
Yes, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
If you'd like to watch video episodes, you can do that on Patreon. You also get bonus episodes. Mm-hmm. And if you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout out from Mike in the Sean Bean Lounge.
You certainly do.
And you were there this weekend, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
Because it was cream egg roulette, wasn't it?
It was. Thank you, Ben. And here's my report.
It was cream egg roulette last night at the Sean Bean Lounge, which started with Al Mario 13, Jimmy Legs, Oliver Welsh and Andrew McCafferty tossing a red 33 off the sideboard and winning a jet ski with a figurehead that looked like Richard Holden, smelt like Michael Craven and sang like Joe Smith. Big G put everything on evens, including Perksy, Andy previously of Derby, Rachel Mundy, James Richardson and Roland Gerrard, all of whom were later won back off the house in a side game of craps by Craig Bufton and Beth from Bremen, before being lost again to Alexandra Verbeck, Ramon Keane, Bessie and Jukar in a high-stakes thumb war on the triple cylinder beanball wheel. Rockland, sprightly Mark Lightly Sparks, Mario Tedeschini, Douglas Fife and Jay Edwards launched a sit-in protest on the Voisin du Zeros after Ali Morgan, DJ Gazzy Jeff, Texi Melota and Cat Y were discovered cheating by using a series of magnets and by manipulating the gravitational pull of the moon. The protesters were spun off by Harry Lambert and Marianne Smith and replaced by roulette wheel-trained thoroughbred horses jockeyed by Will Bozeman, Sarah Moore, James Ellison, Joel Little and Aaron Nias. In the stampede to witness this, Amada Blam, Luke Maller, Ali Wright and Lewis Burge were trampled to the width of snake eyes. Not by stallions, but by fellow Sean Bean loungers Jasmine Simmons, Lois, Mandy Moonlight Ting as Samantha, Zobot Hill, Zach Robinson and Rashida, all of whom are eligible for shoe valeting at the Sean Bean Timpsons. On the aquatic roulette wheel, Johnny Pickle and Simon Trina were found to have drowned in salt water, even though the wet casino was mildly brackish at best. Kate Newrick decided to fulfil a long-held ambition and solve the murders, but quickly went the way of so many before her and pinned it on a series of fool guys, including Thomas M, Angus Roberts, Chris Mick, Nick and Abby, all of whom are being held in the Sean Bean remand zone until the Sean Bean justice system is properly up and running, which is scheduled for 2043. Victoria Piedade, Katie Garner, Matt Christmas, Paul R and Karen R tossed a lucky Dave Makebeer hoping for a black 17, but got a rich W ricochet via Caroline McCarthy and Marcus Reed on the left bank, and James Ladd's Helen Stanton and George Garforth in the forbidden number of mystery. Kev McCullough and Craig chose the wrong sized ball completely, causing JH3721, who was acting croupier, to requisition the assistance of Robert Cocking, Carl Schwarzer, Claire Stevenson and four strong huskies in girdles. Daniel Reed diagnosed the oversized ball to be in fact a bowling ball, which immediately led Nicole C, Tom Rivers, Gary Wilcox, Shelley Anderson, Fergus Mooney and Ross and Rebecca to claim strikes, even though the implications of such an achievement were unclear. David McBride claimed a half strike and was widely ridiculed. Thank goodness for Ellen Wigg, who at this stage in proceedings pointed out that not a single cream egg had been used in the cream egg roulette event and that there was not a cream egg in sight. Caris, Will M and Jenny from Eugene were sent to investigate. Ryan Winspear was sent to the toilet, and McSween was sent to Coventry, and pretty soon it was discovered that the cream eggs had been taken to the shame suite and were being gorged upon with abandon by the slavering morves of Sean Gray, Stephanie Powers, You'll Never Get Rich, Daniel Coleman, Ben J, Damien and Alex, with the wrappers being consumed by Timmy Taylor and Felix T. Baron Tom Van Chung III, Stephanie Hutt and Yes were able to retrieve a single cream egg from an owl-esque pellet coughed up by Neil Gregon, and play resumed. Jim Miller put everything on legs 11 and lost his Hyundai i10 to the cat pig, who in turn lost it to Matt Cote, who lost it to Matt Barnes, who lost it to Charles, who used it to hand over secret weapons plans with Darlo in return for an empty decoy i10, which was won by Lucy Mack before Charles Pumber successfully went double or nothing, thus winning a Hyundai i20, into which Maya, Debs O'Grady, Will Menzies, Lightning Brain Jim, Marika W, and Tom Allwood clambered and declared permanent squatting rights. Dan Turner and Eric Greensmith turned up late with a cream egg roulade and are in a hell of a lot of trouble. Thanks all.
Okay, that's the show. We'll finish off with a version of our theme tune sent in by one of you lot. And this was sent in by Mason from Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
The Windy City. Cool. Very cool indeed.
Mason writes, Dear Beans, please find attached a cover of your theme tune in the style of the American rock band The Black Crows.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, I don't know them.
I've not listened to them for yonks.
So we listen to that now. Brilliant. And see you next time. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Mason. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Cheerio.
Thank you. Bye.
Do buy tickets for our tour.
Yes.